Okay, read in that book about Africa by Rodney, whatever his name was again. Where he described how, I think this could be something also for TH, I guess. He describes how before feudalism arrived, I mean, we can also here describe the different stages of there, those forms of societies, how there was communalism, which basically often started with a family, farmers, whatever, and they grew that family, and relatives and all that. People join there, marrying into the family, and friends may also have been joining in. And in this way, a community grew. That, well, basically turned into a village or a people, so to speak, and then there was another over there on the other side of the mountain or the forest, whatever, and they had their group, and each one had their leader, which, well, was the king then, or chief, and the queen, whatever, and but more like a leader of the family, and the elders were the leaders, of course, since they were the founders of that dynasty, whatever. And then that, people came in and took power on a higher level and started to make business with these local communities or take them over by military force or whatever. So then we saw the rulerships of kings and what became nations, the feudal society, top control and all that. And then that turned into later on into capitalism. So of these, probably the first one, the communal, and I'm not talking communism here, but the communal in that sense, of naturally developed groups that had a strong bond and unity in between them because they were related to each other from generation to generation. A very strong society, and then they had an exchange of trade, depending on goods that they were specialized in, each one of those, and locations and all that. So that could have been a very nicely working society. Of course, they had fights and wars sometimes, but I'm not really sure how much. Anyway, the war thing is another thing because it seems to be always there anyway. So that has to be dealt with through personal development of people rising above the greed and selfishness and the hatred and envy and all of that. But as a social system, and I'm watching, I just watched this film, First Night, about the Arthur and Camelot and all that, that legend story. And which, well, reminds me of that it was like that pretty much in the Middle Age and before that in Europe too. And then at least if we shall believe the Arthur story. There may have been, you know, these local leaders, little local kings, or whatever they were called, lords. If they were strong and they were righteous and they were good and they took care of the people, they were ready to die for their people even, that real leader, so to speak, that in India you call kshatriyas, it's honorable. In those days also it was very, you know, honor and virtue was like a must for the ruling class like that. Otherwise things would go bad, which they of course did sometimes, but it was more clear. And thus the society rested upon the spiritual teachers and so on, who gave knowledge for how then the leaders should lead and all that. So this is a kind of ideal society that we also find there in the Indian Varnashram concept. So, but the thing is, we may look at the world today and say, this is not possible, you can't, I mean, should we sit here and wait for and hope for a great, holy, enlightened, empowered emperor or something to raise up and take care of the whole world? I mean, that's pretty dreamy. Some Yudhishthira or Parikshit Maharaj, if you're Indian tradition, they know what who they are. Legendary kings of the past, which you find in every culture, basically. You have Arthur there in the European tradition and so on. So, yeah. Then we might sit and dream and write stories, but since these societies were small and local, basically consisting of a village, why shouldn't you be able to do it today on a village level? People gather to find they can understand each other and they trust each other, but they belong together either, well, as it used to be then, or a family and friends and relatives, or people gathering around a certain interest. For instance, we find these eco villages and so on. Different spiritual groups creating such villages. Now, such a village can appear anywhere, and then of course it needs a leadership and there you are. Whatever leadership there is will be more directly determined by personal qualifications. You know, this guy over there is a strong man in the village. So he's a tough guy who kind of takes charge of things. Oh, there's another strong man over there who also wants to take charge of things. And the usual thing, but it's straightforward. And those strong ones there, their popularity among the people in the village will be determined by how good they are at what they do. Of course, it could also be how good they are to seem to be good. But if such a village, such a communalist little society, where everyone knows everyone, and it's very personal. If it has the proper direction, it also has people with knowledge about how to do things, how to grow your food successfully, how to build buildings the smartest way and best quality and so on, how to make the clothes, how to make the technology, but most of all, how to lead properly, how to live in such a way that everyone is happy. And that our lives deeply resonate with the innermost or innermost nature and core of our being, so to speak. So this is possible. Anyone can do it. And I look at this picture here from this movie with the round table and the knights there. That if we serve each other, then we shall be invincible and we shall be strong. Which is, of course, obviously true. So, yes, and if there is such a stronghold, such a leadership there, with people who can just trust each other, who are not there just in it for themselves, but for each other. And this can become very, very, very strong. Many such villages can appear. And this can happen within a country that has any kind of rulership, any kind of political system. Because it's just a person-to-person thing. It's just a way of people relating to each other on the most local and personal level. Therefore, that freedom for people to own land and to grow their own food, to cultivate their own land, to build upon their own land, I would say is one of the most important ones, much more important than your right to carry a weapon or something stupid. And when the feudal society came, that's the first thing they started removing, that freedom of the farmers and so on. It took away the land from them and said, "No, you're serfs on our land. We allow you to take some of the produce that you produce with our help on our bigger lands now that you are, you know, and then we take some tax or whatever." That's the way it went. Now, how many farmers own their own land? I don't know. But now they start talking about not anyone owning anything. Which means, of course, that everyone is controlled. It's a feudal society. squared or cubed or whatever. So yeah, this could also be developed into a documentary. We could look at these anarcho-syndicalists, different ideas, and how, for instance, communists, why it didn't become like that, and so on. It's interesting, I think.